You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I recently sat down to talk with the cellist Hai Yuni, and lucky me, she brought her cello.
I have a movement from the Bach Solo Suite, number one in G major, the minuet. It's probably one of the first pieces I learned.
One of my favorite things to do when I was living in China was going to concerts at one of the new modern concert halls. I'd go to hear the Beijing Symphony Orchestra play a classical program on a Friday night, and the concert hall would be jammed. There'd be parents with their small children all dolled up. There were lots of young couples, and it was clear that the concert hall was a good place for a Friday night date. And what was really apparent to me was a great love for classical music.
So nice. I'm trying to imagine you as a small girl playing this. How old were you when you first played it, do you think?
Oh, probably seven years old.
In those early days, Hai Yu remembers practicing in her family's one-room apartment.
We didn't have heat in the wintertime, and so it gets very cold in Shanghai. So we got a heater just so that I can practice the cello.
Hai Yu was born in Shanghai in 1972 at the tail end of the Cultural Revolution. This was a moment when loving Western classical music in China was not so easy.
I think people just hid away their recordings and practiced. I know a pianist who practiced on the table with the keys of the piano drawn on the table and just practiced on the table without making a sound.
Hai Yu's mother was also a cellist and her teacher. But it was her grandfather who actually encouraged the family to emigrate to the U.S. so that Hai Yu could further her studies.
My grandfather went to Harvard and MIT in the early 1920s. He actually encouraged my parents to say, oh, you should take her to United States or Europe to study music. I think she has potential.
Potential is an understatement. Hai Yu came to the U.S. as a teenager to study at the San Francisco Conservatory. Today, she's a principal cellist for the Philadelphia Philharmonic. I'm Jane Perlez, and this is Face Off, a series about the U.S.-China relationship. After all our hard conversations, we're going to do something different this episode. Today, we're exploring something I love, classical music. I'm delighted to talk with someone I've long admired, Yo-Yo Ma. He's a world-renowned cellist and a great believer in the power of music over politics. He founded the Silk Road Ensemble, an enterprise that bridges cross-cultural divides. Yo-Yo Ma is a superstar of classical music today.
Yo-Yo is, as you may have guessed, Chinese, and has lived up to now in France, a highly international type.
This is conductor Leonard Bernstein introducing 7-year-old Yo-Yo Ma at a fundraiser for the Kennedy Center, where he played for President John F. Kennedy.
Concertino number 3 in A major.
Yo-Yo was born in Paris and emigrated to the U.S. as a child. He began playing cello at the age of 4, a total prodigy.
Now here's a cultural image for you to ponder as you listen. A 7-year-old Chinese cellist playing old French music for his new American compatriots. Welcome, Yo-Yo Ma and Yu Cheng Ma.
Thank
And I have to ask you, when you were at school as in primary school, did the kids know you as, he's the kid who played for President Kennedy?
No.
They didn't know?
Nobody knew that. You think, as a kid, Leonard Bernstein is the host and, the orchestra, this, that.
Kennedy sitting up there. Of course, you didn't know who Kennedy was.
I knew nothing. But you know who impressed me was Danny Kaye, because Danny Kaye was conducting the National Symphony and playing jokes with them, making them do all kinds of things. And I thought, my, this was the guy that I want to emulate when I grow up.
From an early age, Yo-Yo was seen as a bridge between cultures.
It's interesting, as someone who is of Chinese origin, but, am I considered as one of them? Am I other? Am I Chinese as the pride of, the Chinese linkage? And, I'm not sure I know where I fit in or where people want me to fit in. And of course, as a musician, that's simple. You do music or whatever. Then there's the, and I never know because I'm always a visitor.
You don't ever feel that you're going to a place where your roots are. Going home.
I mean, I have so many strange stories of being in China, including going home, as in going to the place where my father was born in Ningbo, in Zhejiang. And we trudged up half a mountain and we went to the gravesite of my ancestors.
What year did you go to Ningbo?
I maybe 90s. And then we had a big, dinner party to meet all my relatives. And so many of them are teachers.
Just like your father?
Just like my father. What I found out from my relatives is I've always been part of sort of a educational kind of group of people, teachers,
which
scholars,
who were very important in the Confucius society.
And I knew nothing about my family before that. I thought, I knew a little bit about my grandfather, and that's it.
Your father didn't tell you when you were growing up in Paris?
I don't think he knew that much more. He left China in 1936.
He got a scholarship to Paris, I think.
Well, he was at the Sorbonne. He got his PhD at the Sorbonne. But he did his composition studies, his musicology, played violin, and he was stayed in France for 27 years.
Was he really Frenchified, to use a bad...
He wrote his dissertation in French. He was born in 1911. I think he had one of those agreements with his parents to say, I want to be a musician. What, son? What's that? And I think the agreement was that he could be a musician, but he would have to get a degree, Well,
and then he got some degree.
At least that's something, right? He was in Paris when the Nazis came. He went through World War II from two continents.
Did he talk to you at all about the occupation, or you were too young?
Very little. The little things that came out was that, of course, you had to keep blacking the windows and you can't have lights at night. And so what do you do at night? He would practice Bach violin during the day, learn Bach sonatas and partitas for violin by heart. And at night, he would play for comfort. So music gave him the comfort when there was absolutely no communication with his parents for many years, and they thought that he had died.
What area of Paris do you know?
We lived in the 5th arrondissement, the Latin Quarter. So right next to the Panthéon, which is you could hear the bells ringing, every quarter of an hour, middle of the night too, and it was bustling. I have actually great memories of that whole area. I was born in 1955 on the coldest winter, in 30 years. So much so that there was no heat in the little room my parents stayed in. So I had to stay my first month in a hotel. they remembered an American family in the same situation. Years later, maybe this is like in the 2000s, I'm playing a concert in Pittsburgh. And afterwards, some people came by and says, were you this kid that was in Paris during the coldest winter in 30 years and you stayed at this hotel? Well, because I am the other kid, the American kid that stayed in that same hotel. Weird.
Weird. Two kids in bassinets in a cold winter, yeah, and then adults in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Incredible.
More with Yo-Yo Ma in a moment.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of my conversation with renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
I wanted to sort of turn to this idea of what's happening now. We're doing this podcast, hopefully, that listeners and audience will learn more about China, because there seems to be a great divide. You're a great connector. Do you think things have gotten so, how can I say, fragile between China and the United States, that we're almost in a cold war, even with culture, because there's much less back and forth? Orchestras are not going as frequently. Artists are not going as frequently. Do you think it's getting to the point where actually artists will not be able to go so often, and that in future, when someone does go, it'll be seen as some huge breakthrough?
I don't feel we're at that stage now. When we hear there's clampdown or censorship or whatever, that I'm sure is absolutely real. That doesn't stop people from creating and thinking. And, you know, I mean, it's like people are people.
So you're always the optimist, which is great.
You I'm think not, there are no, I'm a huge pessimist, but I have to actually philosophically, in order to live, I have to be an optimist. I have grandchildren.
How old are they now?
6, 5, and 3. So, and I'm about to have another one. So a grandparent cannot see a grandchild and be pessimistic. You have to be positive. But I am scared to death about all the things that could go wrong and are going wrong and have gone wrong. I am so mad that people are so cruel to one another over and over and over again. These are choices that humans make, and we, you and me, I have to make that choice every single day in order not to be destructive, in order not to make things worse.
So that's why you go around the world doing 36 cities, 6 continents, concerts in every city with Bach, and then an interaction day where you turned up in Nairobi, you turfed up in a matatu, which is a crazy bus with graffiti all over it. You went to Xi'an, and then you went to the famous historical African-American neighborhood in Washington.
Anacostia, and, you know, where Frederick Douglass's mansion is he had, there's a violin. He was a violinist. He played violin for his son and grandson every night.
You're kidding.
His grandson was one of the great violinists who first recorded for RCA Victor, played all around the country.
Amazing.
But anyway, I think the reason I go about doing things is because, you know, we need to, all of us, create as much light as possible to find things that are true and celebrate that. We have to be positive. Otherwise, we're gone.
But part of the good news about China and the United States and China and the West, if I may say, is the great enthusiasm for classical music as we describe it. I mean, what, tens of millions of Chinese kids are learning classical music, correct?
Yeah, music.
And why is this? Maybe I'm a little crazy, but I've always thought that there's a certain attraction, a certain educated people in China or not educated people. There seems to be a certain draw to classical music.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a corny thing to say, but Madame Mao.
Absolutely.
She knew so much that she didn't want Ormandy to play a certain Beethoven symphony and wanted him to play another one instead, which he didn't want to play.
Yeah, but I think there was a mutual fascination. Classical music is highly developed. It was something in between sacred and secular music. It was in between court and folk music. It actually expressed a whole worldview as part of the Enlightenment. It expressed all of those ideals. There's a case to be made that, you know, the attraction was part of the whole
and
package.
Still is.
Of course, because we're still living as part of the Enlightenment.
Yeah. So I have something that I'm just dying to ask you.
Okay.
You said a couple of months ago.
Uh-oh. I deny it all.
You were asked, three people to dinner. Who would you invite to dinner? You invited your friend and novelist, Ann Patchett.
Oh.
And you invited Freeman Dyson, the renowned physicist who wrote about and thought deeply about culture. And then you said, Socrates, because I, for once, want to ask the questions. So what question would you ask Socrates?
You know, what are you curious about? You know, look, you're looking at the state of the world. My question to you, you know, what is your worldview? Has it changed since before you drank the hemlock? How does it taste?
That was world-renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma. You must watch 7-year-old Yo-Yo playing cello with his sister for JFK. We'll post a link to the video in our show notes. And you can see Yo-Yo Ma on tour. He's still traversing the globe. Find dates on his website, yo-yoma.com. We'll leave you with more of Yo-Yo playing with his group, the Silk Road Ensemble. Next time on Face Off, the relationship between Joe Biden and Xi Jinping. The two leaders met in 2011 on a basketball court in China. A friendly encounter that has grown far more complicated.
Would you say, Mr. President, that you trust President Xi?
Do I trust? I trust but verify, as that old saying goes. That's where I am.
Thanks so much for listening. Please share this podcast with a friend. Spread the word. It helps so much. This project is made possible by the generous support of the Carnegie Corporation. Face Off is produced and reported by me, Jane Perlez. Executive producer, Mia Lobel. Senior producer, Nina Pozuki. Sound design and mixing by John Myers and Alex Lewis of Row Home Productions. Original score by Alex Lewis. Show art by Good Tape Studio. Research by Luz Ding. Special thanks to Rana Mitter and Maggie Taylor. Special thanks also to the Belfer Center at the Harvard Kennedy School for their support.
Row Home Productions. Mm-hmm.